The following is a recording for Melanie Carpenter of iAdvise on Thursday, May 12, 2016 at 9 a.m. Central Time. This is the IFS First Quarter 2016 conference call. Good morning and welcome everyone to the Intercorp Financial Services First Quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. The instructions on how to ask a question will be given at that time. Thank you for your attention. I would now like to turn the call over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, Katie, and good morning, and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services First Quarter 2016 conference call. On today's call, Intercorp Financial Services will discuss its first quarter 2016 earnings. We are very pleased to have with us Mr. Luis Felipe Castellanos, Chief Executive Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mrs. Miquela Casaza, Chief Financial Officer of Intercorp Financial Services, Mr. Gonzalo Basadre, Chief Executive Officer of Interseguro, Mr. Juan Pablo Segura, Chief Financial Officer of Interseguro, and Mr. Reynaldo Roy-Sendit, Chief Executive Officer of Inteligo Group. They will be discussing the results that were distributed yesterday. There is also a presentation to accompany these results. If you didn't receive a copy of the presentation or the earnings, it is now available on the company's website, ifs.com.pe, to download a copy. Otherwise, for any reasons, if you need any assistance today, please call iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mrs. Casaza, Intercorp's Chief Financial Officer, for her presentation. Mrs. Casaza, please go ahead.
Good morning and welcome to Intercorp Financial Services First Quarter 2016 earnings call. We will start in page number 3 of the presentation, where we will be discussing a summary of IFS results and the main extraordinary items that have impacted the first quarter results. IFS first quarter results have been $60.7 million. The bottom line result has been mainly affected by three extraordinary items. First, at Interseguro, higher requirements of technical reserves due to a lower discount rate using the calculation of the overall stock of reserves after IFRS accounting methodology, with a negative impact of $87.9 million. Second, at Interseguro, a negative impact on the investment portfolio of $35.5 million, coming both from impairments and realized losses. Third, foreign exchange losses coming from the evolution of sol versus dollar exchange rate. Excluding previously mentioned extraordinary items, IFS first quarter net profit would have been $207.9 million. At Interbank, first quarter results was $201.8 million, a 1.7% decrease year-on-year, mainly due to lower net gains on foreign exchange transactions, which decreased more than 40% year-on-year. Excluding such effects, net income would have grown 12.5% year-on-year. At Interseguro, first quarter result was a loss of $135.5 million compared to profits of $3.6 million in the fourth quarter and $33.6 million in the first quarter of the previous year. The bottom line result was mainly affected by the two extraordinary items as previously mentioned. At Inteligo, the first quarter net profit was $30.4 million, a significant recovery Q-on-Q, but a 15.9% decrease year-on-year. The quarterly performance was attributed to lower other expenses and higher fee income and other income. On page number 4, you can see a summary of the key quarterly indicators for IFS. Net interest and similar income decreased by 1.3% Q-on-Q, but strongly increases year-on-year by 18%. The quarterly decrease is mainly driven by seasonal factors at Interbank, while the yearly increase is driven by strong results at the three operating companies. Fee income from financial services decreased 3.8% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to seasonal factors, and increases 6% on a yearly basis. NIM slightly declined 10 basis points year-on-year to 5.5%, with NIM at Interbank at 5.5% as well. PDL increased 10 basis points on a quarterly basis to 2.3% at IFS level. Cost of risk increased 20 basis points Q-on-Q to 3% at IFS, mainly due to a loan mix effect at Interbank as the commercial loan portfolio decreased 0.2% on a quarterly basis, while the retail loan portfolio increased 0.8%. Credit card PDL ratio increased 20 basis points in the first quarter, less than the 50 basis points increase registered at the system level, and has started to show a better containment of loan delinquency, especially in the shorter collection period. Coverage ratios continue to be strong at more than 170%. Efficiency ratio at IFF was 45.2% and has been impacted by Interseguro's results for the high level of technical reserve due to the negative impact of interest rates. Excluding such effects, efficiency ratio would have been 40.9%. Capitalization ratio for Interbank remains strong at 16.4%. Please turn to the following page for a brief overview of the quarterly net earnings of IFS 3 segments. On page 6, Interbank's profits reached $201.8 million in the first quarter, a decrease of 8.2% quarter-on-quarter. This decrease was mainly due to a lower activity on FX trading when compared to the extraordinary levels registered during last year, which resulted in a reduction of 33.7% in other income and to seasonal factors which impacted fee income from financial services and net interest and similar income. The annual decrease in net profit was again explained by a lower activity of FX trading when compared to the extraordinary levels registered during last year. Interbank ROE was 21.9% in the first quarter, lower than the 24.2% reported in the previous quarter and the 25.5% registered in the first quarter of the previous year. NIM decreased 30 basis points in this quarter to 5.5%, with NIM on loans decreasing 30 basis points mainly due to the lower growth in the credit card portfolio and to the focus on lower risk clients. On page number 7, performing loans grew 0.3% Q-on-Q as a result of a 0.8% growth in retail loans, partially offset by a 0.2% decline in commercial loans. Retail loans increased due to growth of 1.6% in mortgages and 1.5% in other consumer loans, partially offset by a 0.8% reduction in credit cards. The reduction in commercial loans was mainly due to the slowdown in the economic activity. Performing loans grew 10.6% year-on-year due to increases of 12.7% in retail loans and 8.5% in commercial loans. Retail loans growth was driven by increases of 14.7% in other consumer loans, 13.2% in mortgages, and 9.7% in credit cards. Commercial loans grew mainly due to increases in short and medium-term lending within the corporate and middle market businesses, partially offset by lower leasing operations. Our market share on total loans remains stable quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year at 11.1%. On page 8, Interbank's total funding base decreased 2.3% quarter-on-quarter. This quarterly decline was due to decreases of 2.4% in deposits, 2.4% in due to bank and Interbank funds, and 1.6% in bonds. Also impacted by the exchange rate. The decline in deposits was mainly explained by reductions of 10.6% in institutional deposits and 1.2% in commercial deposits, partially offset by a 0.4% growth in retail deposits. The proportion of deposits to total funding remained relatively stable quarter on quarter at 70.4%, as well as average cost of funds at 2.7%. We have been able to maintain our loan-to-deposit ratio in solid stable in the last quarter and substantially below the system average. The bank's total funding base increased 17.8% year-on-year due to growth of 50.8% in due to banks and interbank funds, 14.3% in deposits, and 5.5% in bonds. Retail and commercial deposits represent 71% of total funding, with central bank decreasing its participation down to 8%. Our total deposit market share has increased 20 basis points on a yearly basis, with retail deposits growing 40 basis points in the last quarter. On page 9, when looking at SDS comparable figures to the system, Interbank's past due loan ratio was 2.5% in the first quarter of this year, The coverage ratio remains strong at 186.4, and the same trends are valid for the IFRS PDL figures. When looking at the PDL breakdown, we can see within retail that overall consumer credit PDL has remained stable at 3.5%, while the system average has increased 20 basis points, reaching the same 3.5% level. Credit card PDL increased 20 basis points to 4.8%, while the system average has increased 50 basis points in this quarter, reaching 4.6%. Modal increased its PDL ratio 20 basis points to 2.9%, in line with the increase of the system. Within the commercial portfolio, PDLs remain well below the system average in medium-sized companies, but has registered an increase in small companies up to 8% and in line with the system average, mainly explained to the decrease in such portfolio. The annualized ratio of provision expense to average loans has come down 50 basis points from 3.3% to 2.8% in this quarter. This ratio remains above the system average of 2.1%, but has shortened the gap in the last quarter by 20 basis points. When looking at IFRS cost of risk figures, the trends are similar to what we have just commented on local GAAP when excluding the voluntary provisions recorded in the fourth quarter of the previous year, as for the same reasons we decided to be on the conservative side on the range of IFRS provision levels. On page 10, we are including the trend of the de-dollarization of our loan portfolio of the last 12 months. When compared to the industry, as of the first quarter, our portfolio is more de-dollarized, with 73.2% of our portfolio in soles versus 68.4% of the industry. This is mainly due to two factors. We have a higher share of retail loans, which are more soles-based than commercial loans, and we have a higher soles-based component in our mortgage portfolio within retail loans. Moreover, we have been able to de-dollarize more than 7 additional percentage points in the last 12 months. On page 11, fee income from financial services decreased 6.2% on a quarterly basis, mainly explained by a decrease in maintenance and mailing of accounts, interchange fees, transfer and credit and debit card service fees, as well as lower fees which are seasonal in the fourth quarter of the year, such as commission for the real estate business and advisory fees. On a yearly basis, fee income has increased 9.2%, mainly due to increases in fees from maintenance and mailing of accounts, transfer and credit and debit card services, and commissions from banking services. Other expenses decreased 9% on a quarterly basis and increased 3.9% on a yearly basis. The quarterly decrease in other expenses was mainly due to reduction in administrative expenses driven by lower supply costs and advertisement expenses. The annual growth in other expenses was explained by increases in depreciation and amortization and in administrative expenses, partially offset by 2.8% lower salaries and employee benefits. Thanks to cost control initiatives, the efficiency ratio was 41.2% in the first quarter, in line with the one registered in the previous quarter, but well below the 42.3% reported in the first quarter of 2016. On page 12, the ratio of regulatory capital to risk-weighted assets was 16.4% in the first quarter, above the 15.5% registered in the fourth quarter of the previous year. As of this first quarter, Interbank's capital ratio was 470 basis points above its risk-adjusted minimum capital ratio requirement, established at 11.7%. The minimum regulatory capital ratio requirement was 10%, while the additional capital requirement for Interbank was 1.7% in the first quarter. Please turn to the following page to discuss Interseguro's results. During the first quarter, Interseguro registered a loss of 135.5 million under IFRS, despite the 13.8 million profit registered under local GAAP. This negative result is mainly due to two negative impacts as follows: 87.9 million negative impact on technical reserve from a lower interest rate using the calculation of such reserve, and 35.5 million negative impact on the investment portfolio, coming both from the sale and from the impairments on certain investments, mainly related to Brazil. It is important to mention that regarding Interseguro's investment portfolio, and in light of the recent developments and downgrades in Brazil after the closing of the third quarter, that we will book additional impairments that might add up to $70 million related to our Brazil portfolio that will affect the second quarter results. After this, Brazil investments will represent around 4.7% of our total portfolio of investments. On page 15, you can see a comparison with local GAAP results. Interseguro's net profit in the first quarter was 135.5% loss under IFRS and 13.8 million profit under local GAAP. The main differences between the IFRS and the local GAAP profits are as follows. A higher adjustment of technical reserves under IFRS of 119 million as a result of the use of a lower weighted average discount rate to calculate technical reserves for annuities. A higher impairment loss on available for sale investments of 27 million that is due to a more rigorous impairment policy under IFRS. And a higher net gain on valuation of real estate. A lower net gain on valuation of real estate investment as under IFRS they are considered at fair value. On page 16, net premiums in the first quarter were 177.1 million, the same level of the previous quarter, and a 13.3% decrease on a yearly basis. The yearly decrease was related to a market contraction due to a recently passed law which will allow retirees from the private pension fund system to withdraw up to 95% of the retirement funds upon retirement. Annuities market share in the first quarter was 24.6%, which positioned Interseguro as the market leader. Adjustment of technical reserves in the first quarter was 228 million, a 51% increase on a quarterly basis and a 45.7% increase on a yearly basis. The quarterly increase was explained by the use of a lower weighted average discount rate to calculate technical reserves for annuities, and the yearly increase was also driven by changes in the weighted average discount rate. This effect was partially offset by a lower adjustment of technical reserves relative to new premiums. Net claims and benefits incurred in the first quarter were 76.6 million, a 9.5% increase on a quarterly basis and 27.9% increase on a yearly basis. The yearly growth was mainly explained by higher annuities pension. Considering the factors previously explained, total premiums earned less claims and benefits resulted in a loss of 127.5 million in the first quarter. On page 17, Interseguro's investment portfolio reached 5,111 million in the first quarter, an increase of 4.4% on a quarterly basis and of 10.7% on a yearly basis. Results from investments in the first quarter were 31 million, which represented a 2.1% return on Interseguro's investment portfolio, below the 6.6% reported in the fourth quarter. This decline was largely explained by a decrease in the net gain of sale of securities and an increase in impairment loss on available for sale instruments, as well as a decrease of valuation gain from investment property. The yearly decline was explained by a decrease of 36.5 million in net gain on sale of securities, an increase of 16.8 million in impairment loss on available for sale instruments, and a decrease of 15.4 million in valuation gain from investment property, partially offset by a rise of 16.4 million in net interest. On page 19, we will start the discussion on Inteligo Group's results. Inteligo's net interest and similar income in the first quarter was 24.6 million, an 8.5% decrease on a quarterly basis and a 71.4% increase on a yearly basis. The quarterly result was attributable to lower income and dividends on investments available for sale, partially offset by a decrease in interest and similar expense on deposits and obligations. The yearly result was mainly attributable to higher income on available for sale investments and also higher interest on loans as a result of a 12.9% year-on-year growth in the size of our loan portfolio. Net fee income from financial services increased 4.1% on a quarterly basis due to lower expenses related to fund management. When compared with the first quarter of the previous year, net fee income from financial services decreased by $6.9 million. The result was attributable to a lower activity in the rebalancing of clients' portfolios. Intelio's other income reverted positively to $1.9 million this first quarter. This result was attributable to a $2.3 million net trade gain, partially offset by a $0.4 million loss in net gain on sale of securities of the investment portfolio. Other income decreased on a yearly basis by $6.6 million, mainly attributable to a lower net trading gain. Other expenses decreased substantially, 54% on a quarterly basis, due to a $23.3 million impairment loss on available for sale investment reported in the previous quarter, while year-on-year expenses increased 12.6%, mainly due to higher administrative expenses. As a result, Intelio's net profit in the first quarter was 30.4% million, 27.8 million, or more than tenfold increase quarter on quarter, but a 5.7 million decrease year on year. On page 20, asset under management plus deposits reached 13,376 million in the first quarter, a 1.4% increase when compared to the previous quarter, and a 17.5% increase when compared to the same quarter of the previous year. Intelio's loan portfolio reached 1,700 million, a 0.3% decrease on a quarterly basis, and a 12.9% increase year on year. Revenues generated by Intelio reached 51 million, an 8.8% increase on a quarterly basis. The quarterly result was mainly due to higher fee income and other income. Intelio's fee income divided by asset under management decreased to 0.9% in this quarter from 1% in the previous quarter. Intelio's net profit in this quarter was 30 million, while annualized ROE was 20.5%, higher than the 1.9% reported in the fourth quarter. To finalize the presentation, on page 22, we can summarize the key takeaways. At intervals, 10.6% year-on-year growth in performing loans and 12.3% growth in consumer loans. 14.3% year-on-year growth in total deposits, resulting in 11.8% market share. And dollar exposure within the loan book reduced by 730 basis points year-on-year. At Interseguro, premiums remained stable on a quarterly basis and decreased 13.3% year-on-year due to the new law. 4.4% Q-on-Q and 10.7% year-on-year growth on the investment portfolio. At Inteligo, a quarterly growth of 1.4% and a yearly growth of 17.5% in asset under management plus deposits. Loans grew 12.9% on a yearly basis and net profit increased more than tenfold quarter on quarter. Bottom line result was mainly affected at IFS that certain extraordinary items, including a higher adjustment of technical reserve and a negative impact on investment portfolio at Interseguro. As we have presented in this call, IFS results have been affected by certain extraordinary items. We expect that our results will show an improvement in the following months on the back of our solid core operations. The improved political scenario with a new leader taking office in the second half of the year and an improvement of macro condition expected also for the second half of this year. It is worth to mention that our board of directors yesterday approved management recommendation to buy back shares by IFS or its subsidiaries given current market conditions. Once again, thanks for your attendance to this call and we are open to your questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key. That is star one on your touchtone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one at this time. Our first question comes from Sebastian Gallego from Credit Corp Capital.
Hi, good morning, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. Could you provide some color on the evolution of NPLs and cost of credit in the upcoming quarters? Thank you.
Hi, Sebastian. Good morning, and thanks for your question. Okay. This quarter, as we have presented, PDLs, when compared to the system, are well below the system, 20 basis points, while cost of risk continues to be above the system. This was mainly due to the portfolio mix that we have and to the fact that commercial loans are not growing in line with retail growth. What we foresee for the coming quarter is that on the side of credit cards, we should resume growth, and this should improve our ratios, as well as we should resume growth in commercial in the commercial portfolio. When you look at the cost of risk ratio under IFRS as of this quarter, this ratio is 3.2%, while this ratio is 2.8% in local GAAP. We expect to be around those levels, and this ratio should start to improve in the second half of the year as portfolio starts to recover its growth.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Caroline Galligan from Fidelity.
Hi, good afternoon. I just had a few questions. The first one is, can you quantify for me what the LDR is in college, please? And also, could you give me some sort of indication of what level or what percentage of sold to total loan you think you will get to by year end? And I also want to get a sense of what impact that would, you know, have on your net interest margin. So if you could give me some guidance on that too, that would be great. And then the next thing is, I was wondering if you could perhaps explain to me the mechanism that causes these the changes in the discount rate, which moves the technical reserves about in the insurance business, please.
Okay, I will answer your first question, but I missed a portion of your first question, so let me answer what I understood, and maybe I will ask you back again.
Sure.
In terms of the LDR, the loan-to-deposit ratio in soles, okay, the number we have as of March is 142%, okay, and this compares to the system average of 152.5%. We have been able to maintain this ratio when comparing to the last quarter of 2015, while the system average has continued to increase by an additional 6 percentage points. And this is due to the fact that we have been able to continue to outgrow our retail-based deposits and bringing much more solace than the average of the system. I think this ratio will continue to be on this high level, okay, and it might improve as the exchange rate continues to stabilize, okay, and we limit the shift that has been going on in the first quarter from soles deposits to dollar deposits. So related to where we were standing last year, I think we are better off today, okay, as we have seen a stabilization of the shifting of soles deposits to dollar deposits in the bank and in the system. You have some additional points in these first questions. I'm going to ask you to tell them again to me because the line was not very good.
Okay, and the second part is, what do you think, what percentage of the loan book will be in soles by year end? Do you have a specific target? Or do you have a sense of what it could get to?
The percentage we have today as of soles, okay, over the total portfolio,
yeah,
for the bank is around 73.2%, okay? We are 5 percentage points more de-dollarized than the system average. And as I explained during the call, this is mainly due to the fact that we are a little bit more skewed towards retail than the system. What we have seen in the last year, okay, is that the portfolio has de-dollarized 7 additional percentage points, okay? I'm not sure whether we will be able, we don't have a specific target for that for this year, but what we are seeing month by month is that this continues to de-dollarize as in the retail portfolio, okay? The only portion left in dollars is 20% of the mortgage portfolio, and that the new mortgages continue to be more than 90% installed. So as the new disbursements are being done, we will see, okay, that the portion of the dollar portfolio in the retail banking will tend to disappear, okay? Well, when we talk about commercial loan book, the situation there is different because there we still have 45% of the portfolio in dollars, but this is mainly linked to the fact that we have many exporters and clients that have their flows linked to dollars. So that percentage not necessarily will be reduced, and that will depend on the recovery of exports and the recovery of our market share within this export loan book.
Okay. So given all of that, what is your outlook for net interest margin for the rest of the year? Do you see it? I mean, there's been a slight contraction quarter on quarter and year on year. Do you think it could, given that you have this ongoing process of federalization of the loan book, do you think it could stabilize at current levels, or would you see further pressure?
Yes, we believe this should stabilize also given that we should see a recovery of the growth of credit cards, not that on the other side helps.
Yeah.
And related to your other question on the methodology for the calculation of reserves, I'm going to pass it on to Gonzalo that will give you a more technical explanation.
Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
The way it works is that under IFRS, the full stock of reserves are recalculated every quarter using the current market interest rates. As interest rates, especially for soles, have decreased during this period, the value of those reserves has increased, and therefore that difference flows into the P&L. Now, it's important to mention that this normally would be compensated by the change in value of our assets, but according to IFRS, this is registered directly in equity, so it doesn't compensate in our P&L. So our understanding is that this has no effect on the business or the economics of Interseguro.
Okay. So,
does that make sense?
I understand. So it's calculated every quarter, and so it just encompasses any rate increase that's taken place in that quarter. Is that right?
Yeah. If rates increase, current value of reserves go down, so it's a gain for us. If rates decrease, as has happened, then the value goes up, and that's a loss for us. In fact, what we see right now is that since March 31st to now, rates have continued to decrease a little bit. So we expect this hit to continue during the second quarter.
Okay. I mean, so in aggregate, given that you expect further adjustments because of the discount rate, because the rates will go up, and you expect to have write-downs because of your Brazil business, is it fair to say that Q2 is going to be challenging, but that there should be better earnings in the second half of the year?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alonso Aruba from BTG.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. A couple of follow-ups. Regarding margins, you mentioned in the press release that there's a decrease of 50 basis points in the yield of the retail portfolio. I'm just wondering what's causing that. Are you focusing on lower risk clients? Is it competition? And how do you expect that to evolve once you start growing again in credit cards? And related also to the insurance business, can you give us your overall expectations for the growth of the annuity business now that the law has changed, and it will likely impact that business? Thank you.
Good morning, Alonso, and thank you for your question. On the first question related to margins, okay, what has been going on is related to the mix of the portfolio, okay, with credit cards not growing, and with mortgages and other consumer loans, no, with lower yields growing more than credit cards, this has had the impact that we have seen in this quarter. What we are, and also, sorry, related to the fact that limited growth, what we are doing in credit cards, and we have started to do actually from the third quarter of last year, was to rebalance a little bit the portfolio, no, so focusing on lower risk clients. We expect this to improve now in the following quarters as credit cards resume growth, okay, and the mix of the portfolio pushes up these margins, okay. Related to insurance, let me pass it on to Gonzalo.
Hi, Alonso. Okay, just a little background. With regards to annuities, there are actually two kinds of annuities. One linked to retirement, which represented last year around 70% of the whole market, and disability and survivor benefits annuities, which represent around 30%. What has happened since the law was announced at the end of last year, during the first quarter, was that the market for retirement annuities decreased around by half, as many people postponed their decision to retire. Since the law has been approved in April, what we're seeing is that the market has further decreased as more people are postponing that decision. That law is coming into effect by the end of the month, and we expect that many people that were postponing that decision will buy an annuity in part or in full of their funds. In summary, the market is decreasing, but once the law is takes into effect, we expect a rebound for the following month.
Okay, thank you. And regarding the buyback that you mentioned, what's the size and the time frame of that buyback?
I don't think, Felipe. We actually work on the shareholders meeting to define the details of both mechanic size and all that, no? And then the ones that will be bought by IFM. Shareholders meeting, I think, has been called for the end of the month. And then we'll have more definition of the details of what
IFS does. Okay, thank you. And my final question, looking at the corporate expense line, there was a $34.6 million expense, which is much higher than other quarters. Can you give us a sense of what's in there?
There we have that the forward, the dollar loss at IFS, given that we were non-dollar to pay the dividend. Actually, we usually don't have that position in place. No, at the end of the match, we were non-dollar for about 150 million, which is the amount of dividend we paid this week, and we were caught up on the decrease of the dollar soil exchange rate, no? So like 25 million are the result of that. The other is just the normal operating expenses that are in line with what we've been doing every quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you once again. We are now holding for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Our next question comes from Carlos Rojas from Andino.
Hi, thank you for the call. Actually, I have three questions. The first one related to the bank. I would like to know what is your policy regarding the FX now that the FX is very volatile and you have shown a small loss in the first quarter. I'd like to know what is your policy on the year, and if you have a net exposure on soles or in dollars. Then the second question comes to a new news that basically came out yesterday that the bank can be buying back shares. I would like to know if you can highlight a little bit more on that. If it's market shares, if you had any price, if you have any level. And the third one goes to the annuities business. It seems that the law already passed and there's more noise coming. I would like to know if you are going to be able to catch that money coming out of the pension funds, the 95-point fund with your bank or the mutual funds or Intelligo, if you have something prepared for that. Thank you.
Okay, hi, Carlos, this is Mr. Lee. The first question, we usually land the bank neutral in terms of FX position, so we try to be hedged. So, yeah, the loss was small, as you mentioned, sometimes we have small gains, but we're not changing our view. No? At the end, we try to be as neutral as possible on the FX currency and not sell any bets on that side. So I hope that answers your question. On the second part of the second question about the buyback, as I just mentioned to Alonso, it will be done at market conditions and subject to obviously at market price. It will be a huge amount. We're looking into the details to be determined. But again, some details for IFS will be determined in the shareholders meeting. As you know, we already at the bank have a portfolio of shares that we acquired some time ago. So it will be something similar to that. Nothing very different to what we've done in the past. And then the third question, obviously we're a financial services company that are looking to take advantage of the opportunity. Some doors closed because of regulation, but some doors open because of regulation. And we have the complete set of our product or wealth management. We have our mutual funds. We have banking products. We are already launching new products that will come to market in the next days. We're already approaching customers. So part of what the new products are for will be targeted to our mutual fund presence and our banking hand. No? So many details in terms of the target size and stuff like that we can share right now, other than we will use all our firepower of the financial services and leading firm in the country to take advantage of the opportunities that this brings to us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you once again. If you would like to ask a question, please press *1 at this time. We are now holding for questions. At this time, I am showing no further questions. I'd now like to turn the call back over to Mrs. Casassa for closing remarks. Ma'am, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you again for everybody for joining this conference call. We will meet again to discuss the second quarter results in July. Bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.